Today, I'm going to be reading from Psalm 31, the first five verses, and then I'm going to skip down to verses 15 and 16. Listen to these words. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. The Book of Psalms truly is a place that I spend a lot of time every day. There's times in the morning and now times in the evening that I spend in the Book of Psalms and just looking at them, reading through them and coming to allow the emotions that are there to touch me and to help me. The truth is, every human emotion can be found in the Book of Psalms. Every one. It's not just all high praise and excitement and wonder and glory. There are places that are extremely low, and there are places that are extremely angry in the Psalms. And I've often told people, sometimes when you're not sure what to pray, it's time to open the Book of Psalms and just start reading. Because somewhere there, you will find words that find you exactly where you are, and you will go, that's what I've been trying to say, but I didn't know how to say it. That's the same feeling that I have. And one of the examples that I see in a lot of the Psalms is most of the Psalms start out with this great bit of praise. How wonderful God is. How exciting it is to serve a living, loving, caring God. And then somewhere in the midst of the psalm, whoever the psalmist is, just gives out the raw words from their heart of how they hurt and how things aren't going right and how terrible it is. And then what happens as you go through the psalm, as you get towards the end of most of the psalms, not all of them, but most of them, it comes back to this praise and excitement and joy. Here's the greatest reason that I love to spend time in the psalms. I am sometimes, as my major professor would say in seminary, I feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. That's how low I feel. And that's just who I am sometimes. That sometimes it happened early to me this week. I think it was on Tuesday. I was definitely lower than the snake's bellies in the wagon rut. I just didn't feel like continuing on. I didn't feel like doing anything. I didn't feel like participating. Didn't want to. And what I find in the Psalms, when I particularly see things like that, is that God helps people move from that place back to a high place. But it comes through expressing how you feel, not trying to captivate it and keep it away. It comes through actually being able to say aloud, this is the way I feel. And I particularly think it comes by being able to say that to God. There have been many times that I've been able to say to God, I don't want to participate today. I don't want to be part of the world today. I just want to go hide in a corner somewhere. Oftentimes I want to take a nap because my feeling is if I take a nap when I wake up, it'll be better. Got to be. The Psalms gives me that place where I can actually say what I feel. And that's why I say every human emotion is there. I encourage you, if you don't believe that, just take some time to read through the Psalms. Just take some time to look at it. Because I have often found there is exactly the way I feel, and I did not know how to say that to God. And here's a psalmist that said it to God. And I truly believe that all of these psalmists lived, even though they said some horrible things. Because I know there's the thought for many people, you can't say that to God, because God will strike you dead on the spot. I truly believe that these psalmists lived through what they said to God. And I have too. God has gotten very close at times. And this psalmist, David, is one of the most wonderful there is to say how he really feels. And one of the things that he recognizes here in the midst of the psalm, and I've only read two small pieces of it, I encourage you to read the whole psalm. He's only said in two small pieces, there are times when it seems like all crashes in on you. Amen? Anybody ever felt that way? That everything is crashing in on you, and you've just got to get away from it all. It's all crashing in on you, and nothing is working right the way you wanted it to work. Amen? Well, I heard a couple of people. I mean, it's okay for you to be part of the sermon. It's okay. I can handle it. Okay? But sometimes it all just crashes in, doesn't it? And I just so much want to go, I don't want to participate today. I don't want to be part of what's going on around me. Everybody ever felt that way? I mean, it's just, don't want to do it. And David recognizes that in some of the passages that I didn't read, because I preached on part of this passage earlier in the year, I believe. But he talks about how he's in distress. He talks about how he's weak, how he doesn't feel like. He says, my bones are failing me. My strength is failing me. I mean, he just comes right out and says it. I have had people tell me that you can't tell God how you feel really deep down. You can't tell God. And then the very next sentence, people will tell me, but God knows how you're thinking anyway. Well, then why not talk about it? If God already knows that's what you're processing in your head, then let's talk about it. Share it with God. And David says in this case, he says that during these times, he needs a good place of refuge. I need a good place of refuge. I need a place where I can get away from the chaos, where I can get away from the division, where I can get away from the hatred, where I need a place. Amen? I need a place where I can step back. And I just, if nothing else, just to take a deep breath for a minute, right? Just to, how many times this past week did you need a deep breath? And you didn't take it. You just went, I'm going to soldier on. I'm going to push through this and I'm going to make it. King David says, I need a refuge. I need a place where I can get away and I can just breathe for a moment. David found his firm, solid place in a relationship with God. He found his firm, solid place in a relationship with God. I've had many conversations through my years of ministry with people that often talk about how do people make it in this world without a relationship with God? How do they get through life without having a relationship with God? I don't know. I have no clue how people can do that. I also know that I don't want to do that. Because being able to find a place where I can take a deep breath and sit down and talk with God and just say what I need to say, so many times helps. So many times helps. I do. I love to be off by myself. And I can do it all day for days on end. And just talk to God about how I feel. During my sabbatical, when I went and stayed at a monastery for a week, what a joy! What an absolute joy. Didn't really talk to anybody for a whole week. Saw other people, walked past them without talking to them. What an absolute joy to just find a place where I could sit down and breathe for a moment. And I could sit in my chair out in the middle of a field and I could say, God, let's just talk for a few minutes. A place of refuge. A place where I can pull away from the world. A place where I can pull away from screens. A place where I give myself permission to put my phone on silent and pay no attention to it. None. Just me and God. I learned as a young Christian, I always needed those places. My major professor in seminary, Glenn Henson, taught us that you need that more often than you think. You need it. He would tell us you need it every day. You need a little bit longer time every week. You need a little bit longer time every month. And at least once a year, you need a whole week of it. Just to be away. Just to unplug. Just to find refuge. Now, David took two steps to know his refuge. And I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about these two steps. Because I find a lot of people love this idea of having a refuge, but they don't know what it entails. And the first thing that David did, and it's found in verse 5, he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. God, I give it to you. I know that it's broken. I know that it doesn't work right. I give it to you and let you take care of my spirit. As one who battles with depression and panic attacks, there are many times that I have to come to God and say, you're going to have to take this one because I ain't got it. I can't do it. No matter how strong I am and how strong a character, there are times that I just got to let go of it completely and let God love on me. And I got to sit still for a few moments so that God can do that. And what I want to encourage you with, committing your spirit to God means that you're not going to take it back. You're not going to say, God, I give this to you. Thank you for holding it a couple of minutes. Now let me carry it the rest of the day. No, give it to God and let God do something with your spirit. Let God touch the places that hurt. Let God pull together the things that aren't together. Let God show you where the places are that are messed up that you don't realize they're messed up. And then agree with God that, yes, that's a messed up place. Don't go, yes, God, you showed me that's a messed up place. I'm going to run out and fix it now. Let God fix it. Do it along with God, walking along with God. Committing your spirit to God is not a momentary thing. And also, it is a momentary thing. Because you got to do it every moment. You got to be willing to let go and say, God, take care of this. And it's hard for us as, and I'm going to say as Americans, it's hard for us because we're taught to be individuals. We're taught to be self-sustaining. We're taught to be, I'm strong. I can move forward, especially guys. I can do this. Some of you haven't heard my latest statement that I love to use nowadays. I'm a man, and I know I'm wrong. Guys, that will end every conversation with a woman. They won't know what to do when you say that. But sometimes I need to come before God and I need to say, you know what? I know I'm wrong, don't I? And God, you're the only one that can fix that. So I'm just going to give it all to you. That's strength. That's courage. That's being brave. Did you hear what I said? That's strength. That's courage. That's being brave. God, I give it to you, and I trust you to fix it. Because I've already proved I can't. How many of you have proved that to yourself? You can't fix it. And it frustrates you because you can't fix it. Why not let God be refuge? And the second thing that David did is he allowed God to lead him in time. This one may be a little bit harder for us. Verse 15, my times are in your hands. How many of you got a plan for the rest of the day? Come on. Don't sit there and pretend like you ain't got a plan. How many of you got a plan for this week? This is what I'm going to accomplish. This is what I'm going to do. And tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, something upsets your plan. What are you going to do? Because I will guarantee you, if not today, there's something tomorrow that's going to upset your plan. I'll guarantee it to you. That's something I know I can trust in. Amen? Change is going to happen, and I'm not going to like it. Amen? Come on, be good church people. Amen? You guys tell me you don't like change. You know what? Are you willing to let God decide what the time is going to be used for? Even when it doesn't happen the way you want it to. Are you willing to let God make that decision? Because I think God sees the big picture much better than we ever do. I really do. I remember when I was doing my internship, I had a field supervisor who was a retired minister. Absolutely wonderful man. His name was Buddy Miller. And I came to him one day in one of my meetings with him, and I said, Buddy, man, I plan out my week as a pastor, and I get everything straight, and there just seems to be interruption after interruption after interruption. The next time I came to see him, he had a quote for me that I believe comes from C.S. Lewis. That said, what we need to remember is the interruptions is the life that God's bringing to us one moment at a time. They're not interruptions. They're the life that God's bringing to us. Does that change your perspective on an interruption? We see it as an interruption. We see it as something we didn't plan. We possibly see it as something we never wanted. And that's the life that God's allowing to come into your life moment by moment by moment. And instead of getting frustrated because it's not working the way I want it to, how about I live into what God allows to come into my life and what God brings into my life? How about I live into that instead of going, I can't wait to get through this interruption so I can get on with my agenda? Think about that. David found a place of refuge because he could give his spirit over to God. David found a place of refuge because he let God decide what time would bring. That doesn't mean I don't have a plan for the week. But I need to remember that sometimes God had something else planned that I wasn't aware of. And maybe I need to go along with what God's plan is. What would you think about that? Maybe that interruption is exactly where God needed you to be at that moment, on that day, at that time. Probably doesn't work for you, but I wonder what would happen if we lived into it. Because David says what? I let you, God, take care of the time thing. Not me. Are you looking for a refuge? You see, many people want a refuge, don't they? But they also want to maintain control. I hope you realize that doesn't work. God, I want a refuge, and I want a place where I can take a deep breath and I feel okay. But by the way, Lord, you got to let me stay in control. Do you think that works? I think that's why a lot of people are frustrated in life. Because they got to stay in control. Why? If God sees the bigger picture and everything that's going on and how it all fits together, why does it have to work out your way with just the little slice you see? Does that make sense? Because each one of us only sees a little slice, don't we? And God, I'm going to control the whole thing. From my little piece, I'm going to control the whole thing. I hope you realize it doesn't work that way. If I'm out camping and an incredible storm comes up and I need a refuge, Can I stay in the refuge and stay outside and doing my own thing? Can I? But we want to, don't we? God, I want this refuge, but I'll come running back when I need it. Keep it here and keep it safe. So I'm just going to ask you a simple question. Are you willing to let go and allow God to be your refuge? Are you willing to just let go and allow God to be your refuge? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you right now. After reading David's words about a refuge and a place where things can go well and things can go good, about giving us a place where we can take a deep breath and just step out of the busyness of all the things that are going on around us. And Lord, there are so many of us that want that. But the truth is, we want it on our own terms. We want it in our own way. We want it only in a way that seems to fit us for the moment. But Lord, you may have something so much bigger that you're asking us to be part of and to participate in. Lord, show us where we need to let go. Give you control over our spirit. Show us where we need to let you manage time, not us, so that we may truly know a place of refuge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.